All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You could think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The Sweet 16 does commence tomorrow night, but coming up on Friday, we will have the Princeton Tigers in action as a 15 seed up against Creighton. That game starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. And now joining us is the associate head coach for the Princeton Tigers and a pal of mine back from my days when I was doing local radio in the Princeton area. And that, of course, is Brett McConnell. Coach, really happy for you guys. Congratulations. How you been? Good to catch up with you.
Zach, doing great, man. We miss you in Princeton, but really awesome to be on with you tonight. And we have a lot to talk about. We're all very excited with the run we're on and hoping to keep it rolling.
Well, don't give me the coach's answer here that you guys are all focused on Creighton. I want you to just kind of recap the emotions and the run that you guys did go on to get to this point of being in the Sweet 16 on Friday night.
Yeah. Well, first, Zach, let me give you a little bit of perspective, okay? So we just had dinner. We went a little late. Our flight was a little delayed. We just had dinner at Vincenzo's, like a really big-time spot here in Louisville. I'm sitting now on the bus. I went out to the bus a few minutes before the guy finished. It's all leather bucket seats.
Okay.
Everything has stepped up a little bit, right? Like everything feels like, okay, it's the Sweet 16 now and we're being treated really good. There's a buzz around campus. There's a buzz around the guys. It's been incredible. I don't even think we can quite, the perspective on it, will be different here in a month or so, but we're riding this wave, man. We're riding this thing out. We're enjoying it. We're having a blast. Of course, our focus is on Creighton, but there's room and time for us to have some fun with it, too, and I think the guys are all soaking that up.
When did it feel real? Because I know as a coach and players, you guys are like robots where it's you win and you're on to the next one and it moves so quickly. When did it feel real where you said to yourself, wow, we beat Arizona and then we beat Missouri and now we're going to play in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, well, you know, the second that Arizona game ended, I actually was in the locker room. I pulled my laptop up. And I'm watching Missouri film. Like it's a really quick turnaround, and that was you know just what had to be done in that moment. And sitting in the locker room, you know, an hour or so before the Missouri game, we're about to give our little pregame talk, go through the scout one final time, and I'm in the little offshoot of the coach's locker room, and I think it was Kansas, Arkansas, or one of the other NCAA tournament games is up on the screen, and I'm not really paying much attention. I'm trying to get ready for Missouri. And, of course, I just look up for a second, and on the bottom line starts to scroll, like, upcoming games. Number 7, Missouri versus number 15, Princeton, second round. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, that's us. Like, you look up every once in a while, you get a chance to look up and see where you're at, see what's going on. And then after the Missouri game, to see, you know, social media, to see TV, to see SportsCenter, like, I mean, every single media outlet covering us, talking about us, going to the Sweet 16, and you pinch yourself, you look at the coach next, you're like, this is really happening. Like, it's been incredible. It's been awesome. And it's still different moments hit me still now. You know, I look up and see something that, you know, 15 Princeton taking on Creighton, like, is really special.
And you guys are a confident team. Now, you're respectful, but I remember talking to you after the Arizona game, and you talked about how you guys matched up well against Missouri. Where does this confidence come from with this team? Because I know you guys are a 15 seed. I know you guys come out of the Ivy. But it feels like you guys belong here, and your players don't think the moment is going to be too big for them.
No. Well, I mean, you know, you gain confidence from these last two games, of course, right? Like to beat Arizona, to beat Missouri, not much will faze us going forward. But, Zach, we got really good players. We got really good players. Tosin Awoma was Ivy League Player of the Year in 2022. I think his teammates felt like maybe he was deserving this season of being back-to-back. He ends up, you know, having a chip on his shoulder and getting conference tournament most outstanding player. Keyshawn Kelman, I mean, could play anywhere.
He could be a defensive end in football. He is
big
guy.
Like, what a specimen. So you have those two guys kind of on the front line. They match up well with these high major teams. Cade Pierce, freshman, had 16 rebounds, you know, last time out. I think he had 7 or 8 on the offensive end. I think he's the third leading rebounder in the NCAA tournament right now. It's like Oscar Tshiebwe is number 1, somebody's 2, and Cade Pierce is 3, a freshman from Chicago. And then Langborg and Alaco in the backcourt, a senior and a junior, they've seen it all. Like, Peters comes off the bench draining threes. Martini is tough as nails. Xavier Lee is a ball handler for us to relieve pressure. I mean, we feel really good about the fact that talent-wise, like, we're not the prototypical mid-major. Like, we feel like we can stack up with anybody. Our guys are really confident. We feel battle-tested. So we're not going to be fazed, I don't think, here by anything coming up.
And I thought the Missouri game was more impressive than the Arizona game, because it's one thing to get one win and then, right, it's the 15 seed. And we saw last year with St. Peter's, they run all the way to the Elite Eight, but then people just expect you to stumble the next round. You guys didn't only just beat Missouri. You dominated them, Coach. Like, you ran them off the court.
We felt really good about our performance there. And you know, Zach, I'll say this too, because as good as that Missouri performance was, and we feel like we're capable, like that, you know, we felt like, hey, if we get guys playing well at the same time, like, we feel like we're capable of that when we're at our best. The Arizona win, we did that shooting 4 of 25
yeah,
from three. And
right.
we've got a really good 3-point shooting group. And so, you know, to beat a 2 seed, usually the recipe for these underdogs to beat a higher seeded team is to, you know, shoot the lights out, shoot above their head. And we shot 4 of 25 in that game. So I think two really, really good performances for us. And we hope to keep that momentum rolling.
Brett McConnell, when I looked at the Fairleigh Dickinson win against Purdue, Tobin Anderson did not let Zach Edey breathe on that court in the second half. For you guys up against Arizona with their bigs, you held them to what, as a team, 5 points in the final, like, 8 or 9 minutes, and no points in the final 4:45. What was the approach defensively up against Arizona in that first game?
Well, you know, credit to our guys. We were really, really, really physical inside. I mentioned Kelman. I mentioned Cade Pierce, Zach Martini off the bench. We're really physical. Those two guys are really big for the Pac-12. I mean, they're really big, two physical guys inside. We also mix double teams. We double-teamed all year, and we double-teamed just about every time when those two guys touch the ball. It was really effective, and we mixed the double team on and off against Missouri, and, you know, we'll have a game plan for Creighton, but we were really, really good in our double teams. And sorry, Zach, the guys are getting on the bus, and we have a tendency with this team right now, when they get on the bus after a win or a good meal, they tend to get pretty loud and rowdy, and we like them having fun. So apologies if it gets a little louder over here.
No, it sounds good to me. Brett McConnell here with Dust, the assistant coach for Princeton. Princeton going to be playing in the Sweet 16 as a 15 seed Friday night up against Creighton. You talked about some of your youngsters. Blake Peters, though, you talked about the bad shooting against Arizona. He made 3 big 3-point shots, and then he was just unbelievable from three up against Missouri. Take me a little bit through more about Blake Peters, because I've been impressed with what he's been able to do off the bench for you guys.
Let me tell you, Zach, it is the least surprising thing to everyone in this program that Blake has shot the way he shot the last two games. I mean, we have the utmost confidence in him. He's had games with 4 and 5 threes this season. If he has an open look, everybody on our bench thinks it's going in. He's an unbelievable shooter. He's been that way since the first day he stepped into our program. He was that way in high school. It's what he does. The moment doesn't faze him. The situation, the time on the clock, like, he feels like if I'm open, I'm getting it up, and I feel good about it. And that's as the coaching staff feels that way, his teammates feel that way. So we hope he can get some more up on Friday, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Take me through the story of Tosun. So he's from England. You flew out there. How'd you guys discover him, and how'd you get him to come to Princeton?
Well, it's a crazy story. His club coach, who also was one of his national team coaches, emailed a bunch of Ivy schools, a bunch of, you know, high academic, high major programs that they thought fit him. Apparently, I was the only one to follow up on the email and go out to see him. But the story gets better, because when I got to Northern, I flew into London, drove 4 or 5 hours up north in England, and Tosun is playing in a really tiny gym that probably had one side of bleachers. You could probably fit 10 fans in there. There's every line you could imagine, handball, volleyball. I mean, sports that I don't even know existed, netball on this court. It's unbelievable what the gym he was playing in. Zach, I'm not kidding. They were down 50 at halftime, his team. I think it was 64-12, and I still fell in love with the kid. It's funny because he tells a story that I didn't know, but when the game ended and I'm sitting and talking to him, he said he wasn't paying much attention because he was just waiting for me to say, hey, goodbye, we'll never see you again. That's how,
wow,
how bad the team played. Tosa's team just had a rough night. And I'm like, hey, when can you come out and visit us? And, you know, of course he came out and visited us. The rest is history, and he's changed our program. He's changed, you know, not just this season, but the impact he's had on our program has been massive. So we're thrilled we have him.
Did you white lie a little bit to Mitch Henderson and made it out to V since he's in England, and Mitch probably didn't know what was going on, that, hey, he was a lot better than whatever the box score said?
You know, it's a good thing I watched some film before I went out and saw him, because I had at least a better feel for the type of player he was and what he was capable of. And I think I probably told Mitch, you know, it wasn't his best game, you know, but so maybe I didn't go all the way in on how bad a performance it was for his team. But everybody's happy with how it worked out, that's for sure.
What stands out to you, Brett McConnell, before we let you run, the assistant coach from Princeton in the Sweet 16 Friday night up against Creighton? What stands out to you about the Blue Jays? They're a big team. We know they're a good team. They had some adversity early on in the season where they lost six in a row, but they're starting to click on all cylinders.
Yeah, and I think they were missing Kalkbrenner for that stretch.
Yeah,
right?
For a few games,
he's a big guy in the middle. He's 7-1, really talented, skilled, can block shots. Like, and then they put four shooters around him. And, you know, when you put four shooters around a really good player, it presents a lot of challenges. Presents a lot of challenges. If we're going to double, what could happen beyond that? If we guard him one-on-one, can we stop him? Like, there's just a lot of questions with shooting like that around a really good big. And they're smart. They're skilled. They're tough. They're really good, Zach. They're really good.
I remember when we were hanging out in Princeton, you were telling me each and every year you go to the Final Four. Now, you're still a long ways away from the Final Four. You got to go win two more games. But you just being a student of a game, and obviously you've coached for a long time and you grew up around basketball, this just got to be such a thrill, Brett McConnell. Like, we hear you on the bus right now. You guys just got out of dinner. Like, part of this still has, I know you guys feel like you belong, but a lot of it still has to feel surreal, right?
It's 100%, Zach. I mean, my wildest dreams, like, to be coaching a team in the Sweet 16. Man, we're pinching ourselves. It feels like a dream, but we don't want it to stop. And at the same time, we feel like we belong, and we feel like we should be here. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic and a combination of these two things. But each time we get a win, we're one step closer to the next thing that felt insurmountable and now has become pretty close.
Two more before we let you run, Coach.
Sure.
Let me just ask you this. So we all know that the Ivy League did not play in the COVID year. Then you guys lose in the championship game to Yale. You've had some tough performance up against Yale. You beat them. That win in the Ivy League tournament against Yale, was it just a sense of relief that once you got into the tournament, it was just a giant monkey off your guys' back?
For sure. I mean, the pressure that mid-major teams in one bid leagues face in their conference tournament, and for us to play Penn again and have to beat them a week after we clinched the regular season title in the semis, and then play Yale, who's been really tough, in the final. Like, those two games are absolute battles. You are scrapping and clawing and fighting so hard to win those two games. So, yeah, without question, like, you feel like you're playing with house money a little bit when you get to the NCAA tournament. There's less pressure. You've achieved your biggest goal. You've made it to the NCAA tournament. And I think you're seeing that from our guys. There's a freedom. There's a confidence. There's a looseness to them. As much as they're focused and playing really hard, there's a little less pressure on us right now. And I think we're relishing that opportunity.
Last thing I'll ask you, Brett McConnell. This team last got to the NCAA tournament, the program, back in 2017. You guys were right there with Notre Dame, and you just weren't able to hit a shot at the end. What did you take from that experience, and how has it helped you this go-around?
Yeah, I mean, you know what, Zach? Like, for all the bells and whistles and the bright lights, like, what I realized in that 2017 Notre Dame game, the second the ball gets thrown up and tipped, it's a basketball game. And we've all been there before. We've all played basketball games. These guys have played against really good teams. So once the game starts, once that ball goes up, we know what we need to do. And I don't think the moment is too big. I don't think anything else impacts us beyond just trying to win a game. And we've got two down, and now we're on to Creighton, and trying to get that next one.
Well, enjoy your fancy dinners. Enjoy the fancy bus ride. Enjoy it with the guys. And hopefully we see you as a head coach soon. But you're doing a kick-ass job as the associate head coach for Princeton's basketball team. And it's been a whole lot of fun to see you guys continue to build and move forward with this great program. So appreciate you doing this.
Thanks, Zach. They're waiting for me to finish so they can start singing karaoke back here.
Oh,
so thanks.
They could have started interrupting you and singing karaoke during the interview.
I know. We could have put them on speakerphone. I know. I should have done it.
Love it.
That was great talking to you, Zach. Thanks, man.
Thank you. There he is, Coach Brett McConnell, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That would have been great, Hickey, if we would have got Tosun and Blake Peters singing like a little Sweet Caroline or something like that.
Could I karaoke on CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports Radio 2 days in a row?
What was last night?
Yesterday, Maggie Gray did a little karaoke herself.
Oh, did she really?
Not on the air, but during Women's Appreciation Day, and they replayed her karaoke on the air. So we had that karaoke yesterday.
Oh, in the event in the office.
Yes,
gotcha.
And you could have had karaoke today with the Princeton men's basketball team. So look at that, karaoke's. It's hot now. Everyone's doing it.
The reason why I'm laughing is you're like, oh, we could have karaoke 2 days in a row. I go, I sang yesterday? I didn't remember doing so. I love karaoke. But I would not do it here. Like, give me a few beers in the system, a little microphone at a bar, I could do a little karaoke.
You have a go-to song?
Oh, this is going to be embarrassing. There was a karaoke night every Friday in the Poconos, and I would sing the Grease song, Summer Lovin'. That would always be a thing that would come on, and they would try to get people to go up and do karaoke. And I did it one time, and then it became a thing where every Friday night people want me to sing Summer Lovin'. Happened so fast.
Interesting. I was not expecting that one.
Yeah. Also, what's the song by the Outfields? Lose Your Love Tonight. That's also a good one to sing karaoke to. And then you could get to some other songs and just some vulgarities that are not allowed to be said on the radio. I don't want to be like you. There's some songs with some cursing in it that are good karaoke songs as well that you just can't sing on the radio. So it is what it is. We'll take a break. We will come on back. Tyler Palumbus will join us to do a little QB carousel with the Denver Broncos.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes, too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear-whatever-I-want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature, too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ-certified merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon-negative EVA material made from sugarcane. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Denver Broncos.
All right, now joining us, the Super Bowl 50 champion, does a great job middays on Altitude Sports Radio, and that's our pal Tyler Palumbus. Tyler, how you been?
Hey, I'm doing great, Zach. Good to be with you.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So we found out today that Russell Wilson, to start this offseason, did undergo right knee surgery. When you look at last year, it was a disaster, obviously, for Russell Wilson and the Broncos. Now Sean Payton is in. Well, what's your expectations for year number two of Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos?
Well, that's a loaded question, right? I think for this fan base, for the layman fan, they really care about is wins and losses. They're not going to be looking at touchdowns, interceptions, although I will. I'll be looking at touchdowns, interceptions. I'll be looking at completion percentage and all those things that we need to look at for our own advanced stats. But the fans, hey, you get to 9 wins or you get to 10 wins, sneak into the playoffs, and, you know, maybe you could flirt with some success in the first round or not. And I think the fan base would be forgiving. Obviously, it's been a roller coaster since Russell Wilson arrived in Denver, and it's mostly been on the downhill. I don't know. Is the downhill the fun part on the roller coaster? Which part's the non-fun part on the roller coaster? Because that's the part we've been stuck on.
Maybe when it ends, or maybe if you ask me, when it goes, when it flips upside down, because I can't stand that part. I'm projectile vomiting all over the place.
There you go. Yeah. Well, we've been stuck there. So, you know, Russ had 16 touchdowns. He had 11 interceptions last year. I would love to see those numbers. I would love to see him in the 26, 28 touchdowns. You know, and honestly, probably in the same ballpark as far as interceptions, 10 or 11 interceptions on the year.
I think now we expect all quarterbacks to play into their late 30s or early 40s with what we saw with Tom Brady, seen with Tom Brady, and then also what Aaron Rodgers is still being able to do at a pretty high level. Is there that concern with Russell Wilson that maybe we're seeing the decline and that's what it was last year and he'll never be able to be a great quarterback again in the NFL?
Of course there's that concern. I think people are terrified of that. You know, when Russ got here, last season, he said that he was going to play another 10 years and he's going to win another 3 or 4 Super Bowls. I think we would be lucky to get a solid 3 or 4 more years of good football out of Russell Wilson. If you got a Super Bowl out of it, I think we would all count that as a bit of a miracle at this point. I mean, it was bad ball last year. It was really bad
brutal
ball. Now, what everybody's banking on is the last 4 or 5 games, Russ was playing better. He played really well against the Chiefs. He ended up getting hurt in that game. That was probably his best game of the season. But he started to find his stride a little bit with Jerry Jeudy. They found a connection at the end of the year. But Jerry Judy's on the trade block right now, and I do think that they are still actively trying to get rid of Jerry Jeudy.
So what's the deal there? Because we were just talking about that before you came on, Tyler Palumbis. It's like, okay, this guy just played 3 years in the league. He hasn't been as great as what people thought he was going to be. But at the end, they had a little bit of a connection. What's the truth with the Jerry Jeudy situation?
Well, you know, the wide receiver room is just not good enough right now. Cortland Sutton is getting paid good money. It's not like incredible money for wide receivers in today's day and age, believe it or not. But I think he's making like $14 million per year, which is crazy to say that's not stupid money. Of course, that's stupid money. But, you know, nowadays wide receivers are making a lot more than that. But he has just not lived up to his expectations ever since he got that contract. Jerry has just been frustrating. He has had, in his first couple of years, he had so many drops. Last year, his drops really weren't so bad. There was a lot of guys. I think he was hovering around that 5 or 6 mark on the season. But it's been a roller coaster. He's been an emotional roller coaster. He's a guy that wears his heart on his sleeve, and he throws temper tantrums, a la Odell Beckham Jr. I would call it like mini OBJ type of temper tantrums. Doesn't run back to the line of scrimmage. He'll pout, take plays off. So I think they're making a decision right now. You know, they got to decide if they want to give him that fifth-year option. And so if they don't trade Jerry Jeudy, I think it's a guarantee that you're going to give him that fifth-year option. So it's really, are they willing to make a 2-year commitment to him right now or not? And that fifth-year option, I believe, comes in around $13 million. So, you know, do they think that he could be worth $13 million? I personally think the Broncos should keep him. Your wide receiver room is so depleted already. I think you got to bank and just hope and cross your fingers that the Jerry Jeudy that you got in the last 5 games, that's who you're going to get consistently.
I'm going to ask you about the running back room. I know Javonte Williams injured last year. There was high expectations, and who knows what he's going to return. I read a lot of discouraging things on the rehab process, unfortunately, there for him. Is there a chance? I know it doesn't usually happen in division, but I see where the odds are right now that they somehow wind up with Austin Ekeler via trade.
Well, I don't know about Austin Ekeler. Broncos are out of draft picks. I mean, they gave up the farm to go get Russell Wilson, and they gave up the farm again to go get Sean Payton. So draft picks are not a commodity that the Broncos have enough of. If anything, they got to find ways to get more draft picks. So I don't know if Austin Ekeler makes sense. I would love to have him. Great football player. And I think he'll be worth the money still. He wants a new contract. On the surface, I would welcome Austin Ekeler. I do think that despite the fact that it's unlikely they'll trade for a running back, they will add another running back because of what you just mentioned. You know, rumors behind the scenes, and I want to be clear, I don't know this for a fact, but rumors behind the scenes are that Javonte's knee injury was much more serious than what anybody knew. And, you know, it was a total rebuild when they got in there. And so I think they're going into the season expecting Samaje Perine to be their number one. If they get Javonte back, great. And Javonte would probably get that number one spot back if he does come back healthy. But they got to bank on Javonte not being there. So they got to add another running back either way.
So you think there's a chance he could miss the entire season?
I hope not. I hope not, because Javonte Williams is such a fan favorite. I mean, anybody that's watched that kid run, he is so easy to root for, but I fear it. Yes, I fear it.
By the way, you're doing a local talk show in Denver. You guys don't have a draft pick until the third round. What the heck do you talk about with the draft?
Well, I was talking about that with our producer the other day. I was like, so do I just get to take the first two rounds off? Like, we don't have to do any draft coverage because they can't trade back into it. It's very boring. It's very anticlimactic. Can we get a starting center in the third round? Can you get,
a running back?
We're talking about the boring stuff.
So when you look at Sean coming in, obviously that locker room was dysfunctional last year. What is going to benefit Russell Wilson the most by having such a great coach like Sean Payton?
Well, going back to Russ and kind of the drama of last year, so much of it had to do with off-the-field stuff. Obviously, he wasn't playing well on the field. But, you know, Russ, there were rumors that Russ had up to 6 parking spots that were available to the stadium. He had his own personal quarterback coach that had an office in the building, a Broncos employee. On Tuesdays, Russ and his personal quarterback coach would pass out a game plan that was non-sanctioned by the Denver Broncos. It was Russ and his personal quarterback coach's game plan. And I think, honestly, the best thing that could happen for Russ right now is what Sean Payton did on day one. He said, no, there's not going to be any non-Bronco employees in this building. It's not working like that. All the perks are going to go away. Russ is going to have to force himself to kind of reacclimate with the locker room. And that's been a problem because I don't think guys dislike Russell Wilson. I just don't think they know how to relate to Russell Wilson. And it's going to be good for him to get back. He had his own personal office. He's going to lose his own personal office. He's got to be back in the locker room with the fellas.
What is the status of Jake Heaps? That's the personal quarterback coach. We know he's not going to be at the facility. Sean made that clear. I'm assuming he's still working with Russell Wilson. Have we heard anything on the Jake front? Does he do interviews still?
No. Jake was doing interviews with us at the beginning of the season, and then he went quiet.
Makes sense.
I think he probably got a little upset with me. I consider him a friend, but I broke some rough Russell Wilson news in the middle of the year about him using audibles from the Seahawks and the offensive line not knowing it. And so I'm sure that didn't help my personal relationship with Jake. But as far as I know, he's in town. He's working for us. He's going to be doing everything that he can just outside the building.
Jake Heap's best friend, Tyler Perlumbus, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. How tough is it going to be for Russ to win back over that locker room? Because that's weird when a locker room turns that quickly on a quarterback with that much established success in the league. It shows you how bad that situation was. And then at the last 2-3 weeks of the season when teammates were starting to try to make it not look as bad as it was, I thought that was so phony.
Well, it's real simple. It's real easy. Win ball games and you get the locker room back. Nobody cares. If Russ went out last year and won 11 football games and he was playing like the Russell Wilson of the old,
no one would care.
Nobody would have cared about Jake Heaps being in the building. Nobody would have cared about the parking spots. Nobody would have cared about the extra people on the plane. But when you don't win ball games, it's all an issue. So the best thing Russ can do to reacclimate himself with his teammates, win.
Do you think it's likely this team makes the playoffs this year?
I think anytime you got Sean Payton as the coach, you've got a fighting chance at it. It's so hard to predict because nobody knows if Russell Wilson is left for dead or not. And if I had to guess, I think he's closer to permanently on the decline than playing like Seattle Russ ever again. So playoffs are a stretch. but easily attainable if Russell Wilson can even come back remotely to his old form. Of course playoffs is attainable with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, but it all comes down to we got to see what Russ is in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
The Chiefs are better. The Chargers are better. Are the Broncos right now better than the Raiders?
Yeah, I think so. Josh McDaniels is always a mess.
I forgot that's your best friend.
Oh, yeah, that's my real best friend. Yeah, that's my real one, yeah. So, I mean, but seriously, look at what he's done out there. I mean, he's having problems left and right. Just got rid of Darren Waller. Traded out Derek Carr for Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is not as good as Derek Carr. Derek Carr is clearly better. The market said that Derek Carr was better based off the deal that he got down in New Orleans and based off the deal that Jimmy got with the Raiders. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Broncos are finally a more healthy organization than the Raiders. The Chargers, you know, they're always the best team on paper to begin the season, and then they just charger it up and they do what they always do. So, you know, as good as Justin Herbert is, what has he really accomplished, right? So I think there's still an outside chance of getting a wild card spot. You're not going to dethrone the Chiefs. That's not happening. So the best you can do is try to fight for that number two spot.
I'll tell you, just going back to the Raiders, I listened to that entire Pat McAfee interview with Aaron Rodgers, and it seemed like Rodgers was definitely interested in a reunion with Davante Adams. That still blows my mind how that didn't happen, where you move on from Carr, who I don't love Derek Carr, but it doesn't move the needle for me really bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo when seemed like Rodgers wanted to go there.
I'm not the world's biggest Derek Carr fan either, but yeah. He is better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I don't think there's really much of a difference. Like, to me, Derek Carr's healthier. Jimmy Garoppolo's won more games. But, yeah, if you're probably just looking at the talent, Carr's probably slightly better.
Right, right.
But not getting Rodgers there, that's a big mistake. It's a swing and a miss by McDaniels.
Yeah. Although, I'll tell you, it doesn't shock me that Josh is going with a middle-of-the-road quarterback. I mean, Jimmy G, he wins ballgames. Nobody can take that away from him. He wins ballgames. But I'll tell you, when Josh traded away Jay Cutler from the Broncos, he came into the team meeting. He addressed us all. He said, "Fellas, don't worry about it. I could turn a high school quarterback into an all-pro." So that is Josh McDaniels' philosophy on quarterbacks.
How did you react to that?
How do you think we reacted to that? I mean, he just traded away our whole nucleus. We had Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, Tony Scheffler. I mean, we had one of the youngest, most exciting nucleuses on offense in the NFL, and he got rid of them all. It was not a good start for Josh.
Oh, I'll be hanging out later on tonight with Josh McDaniels and Jake Heaps. He's, of course, is Tyler Palumbis. Tyler,
hey,
I appreciate the time.
I want to be clear, I got no beef with Jake. I like Jake Heaps. I think he might have beef with me.
I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think he likes you these days, by the way that you explained
it. I'm going to assume you might be right.
You know what? I will put you guys in a group text, and I'll just say, "Hey, guys, you need to mend this relationship. See what happens."
Perfect. I like it.
All righty. There's Tyler Palumbis. Always great when he joins us. Now I'm just wondering if I should actually send that text. That would be a whole lot of fun. Marco Belletti is here. Now, Marco, remind me, you're not as optimistic about Sean and Russell Wilson meshing together, if I recall, correct?
I'm hopeful. I'm a little concerned with Russell Wilson going off on his own and not sticking to the quick read, get rid of the football, and play inside the Peyton offense.
Likelihood that they make the playoffs this year?
Slim.
Right? Because Buffalo's going to make it.
There's so many deep teams in the AFC, even before the draft we get to.
Yeah, like Buffalo, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Kansas City. Those are probably your division winners. The Jets, they keep on making good moves, assuming the Rodgers deal gets done.
Don't forget the Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah, the Dolphins, if Tua could stay healthy, the Chargers,
right.
I think, are better than them.
The Ravens.
Assuming Lamar stays there.
And the Steelers are always around.
And also, if Deshaun Watson knocks off the rust.
Absolutely, the Browns could be a player.
Too.
Oh, definitely.
Man, that's going to be tough. And I would right now say the Broncos are better than the Raiders. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Raiders finish in front of the Broncos this year.
I guess. I'm a little confused as to what the Raiders are trying to accomplish. And maybe that's all the Josh McDaniels. I don't get exactly what they're trying to do.
They're a directionless franchise.
No, but I mean, like, you were so quick to move on from Derek Carr, which is fine, and then to turn it into Jimmy Garoppolo. Like,
uninspired.
Again, it's almost like you're treading water. What exactly are you trying to accomplish? You're telling me that the Jimmy Garoppolo-Josh McDaniels connection is worth more than a good quarterback? You can't get to Derek Carr? It's not a malcontent. You can't get him to play inside your system? It just doesn't make sense.
It almost makes me think, and maybe I'm dead wrong here,
And maybe they're waiting to go draft a quarterback next year. But if they have another disaster year, I would not give them year number three this regime. Maybe they're going to go draft a Richardson. Maybe they're going to go draft a Levis. And you have Garoppolo be that stopgap guy once again for a year.
That's fine if that's the road you're going. I mean, see if they have the pick to be able to even do that. I mean, we're talking, there's some reports of Richardson going number one. I mean, who knows? But that's what I'm saying. Like, who knows? You want one of the top four or five quarterbacks. You might have to get into the top five, top six. So I don't know where the Raiders are going to go in that regard. And if that's the case and that's different, then you're rebuilding the whole thing. But you went from a playoff team to what you had last year where they couldn't hold a lead.
Picking seventh this year.
To now Garoppolo is the answer and stripping it down a little bit. I feel like they don't know what they want to do. They're in the middle, and that's not where you want to be.
And also when they signed Jacoby Myers and they have already Davante Adams there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I looked at that move, I'm like, okay, that means they're going to get rid of Renfro and keep Waller, and then they trade Waller. Like, the whole thing just doesn't make any sense.
Again, I feel like they want to, almost like the Dave Gettleman, they want to have it both ways. They want to rebuild while winning at the same time, bring guys in, but then also get rid of other. Like, at some point, you have to figure out what your direction is. Are we trying to, again, strip it down is that's extreme. It's the NFL. You can go 1 year to the next. But you have to figure out if you're going to go a little bit younger and try to build something with a core, or if you're going all in with veterans and see if you can make a playoff push. And I feel like they're caught in between. When you're caught in between, it's almost like the Mr. Miyagi. Left side of the tracks, you're fine. Right side of the tracks, you're fine. You know, middle of the tracks, squish like grape. That's where the Raiders are. In the middle of the tracks, squish like grape.
It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Closing bell next.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating. But finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code podcast.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can think of all the auto parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just five thoughts when it comes to the Sweet 16. Number one, I cannot wait for Houston, Miami that comes your way on Friday night. Isaiah Wong, the ACC Player of the Year. We know how great Marcus Sasser has been for Houston. That is just a heavyweight matchup between Kelvin Sampson and also Jim Larinago. Right now, I do lean Miami. I think Miami is going to win that game. You also have Gonzaga and UCLA. That is tomorrow night at 9:45 p.m. Eastern. And that is the next chapter of this matchup in the NCAA tournament. You remember all those years ago, that Adam Morrison crying as UCLA did take down Gonzaga. And then a few years ago, you had the big Jalen Suggs shot to get Gonzaga into the national championship game. I just can't wait with Mick Cronin and Mark Few. We've obviously seen the great players for UCLA over the last few years. And you know, good Tiger Campbell could be. And then Juzang as well, with just how much of a winner he is. And then for Gonzaga, you got the 9,000th year of Drew Timmy. So that should be a great one for Alabama and San Diego State. I do think that game will be a little bit closer than what people think, but it's the Brandon Miller show, and we'll just continue to see him probably roll to the Final Four, and then how far can you take it from there? They are my pick to win it all. Princeton, major storyline. I don't think this is a good matchup for them up against Creighton and the size of Creighton, but for Princeton, in the first game, they beat Arizona, but they didn't shoot well, and then up against Missouri, they were just on fire. I wonder, can you find that middle ground where I don't think anyone expects them to play as well as they did up against Missouri, but it's weird saying, like, don't play as bad as he did up against Arizona when you beat them, but Brett McConnell said it, Mitch Henderson said it, they shot the ball horribly in that game, so I just want to see if you can find the middle ground there. And then finally, it's the coaches here. You look around And you see Nate Oates going for his first championship. We know McDermott's been going at this for a long time. Larrañaga trying to get back to a Final Four and the first ever Final Four for Miami. The redemption story of Kelvin Sampson. Rodney Terry should already have the job at Texas. You have the must bus as that continues to roll through. We'll see if he rips his shirt off. Hurley and the job that he's done. Is this the first time when you look at Rick Barnes, is he going to finally get his credit and get more credit nationally? The great story of Jerome Tang at Kansas State. You have Tom Izzo in March. You look at Dusty May at FAU. There's just so many good stories with these coaches. And you just want to see who can continue the magic here of the NCAA tournament. All righty, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Paul George is going to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. Last night, the Clippers do lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are right now a game and a half back of the sixth seed. They sit there as the seventh seed with the record of 36-36. But last night, they get a one-point victory up against the Clippers, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 31 points and 7 rebounds. So give a stock up to SGA. This story was brought back up on Part of My Take. Part of My Take had friend of show John Fanta on, and it was a great interview. And I guess I missed this. Now, Jay Williams, remember, he claimed he got hacked when he said congratulations to Ime Udoka becoming the first African-American coach for the Boston Celtics. And that was a tweet that he got clowned for because it just wasn't true. And then he said he got hacked. But I guess in January, he tweeted out when the Georgetown job was clear, Patrick Ewing wasn't going to make it, and they got fired after the year. So people keep asking me, so I will answer. Georgetown basketball has always been a dream job. Why does anyone think Jay Williams would have got that job? Maybe it's because he was sitting around at ESPN. He saw Jeff Saturday get a gig. He thought, okay, I could get a gig. But you tweet that out when Patrick Ewing was still there. I thought that was very classless and good job by Part of My Take bringing that back up to Fanta. And Fanta said, yeah, he was never a candidate. So stock down to Jay Will. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.